In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our gospel lesson this morning, this teacher of the law had witnessed the earlier conversation that Christ had with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who, as usual, were trying to arrest Jesus and catch him in his words. But this particular teacher noticed that Jesus had answered them well, and he wanted to see just how far above the other teachers Jesus really was, so he gave him some questions. This questioning or further testing was not uncommon in Jesus' day. During these occasions, rabbis could show their greatness by explaining the truths of God that were most basic, but at the same time, most profound. A case in point is the example of Rabbi Hillel. Hillel was once asked by a potential convert to Judaism to explain the meaning of the law while standing on only one foot. Hillel obviously had to be brief and to the point. And so he answered the young man, "What you hate for yourself, do not do to your neighbor. This is the whole law, the rest is commentary." Jesus was asked to teach with this kind of simplicity and depth. The teacher in today's story expected a profound answer from Jesus. He wanted Jesus to give a foundational answer, the kind of answer that was simple and direct, that would satisfy all those watching their conversation. What Jesus does in his answer is go back to the basics of Old Testament theology. Jesus echoes the words of the Torah, and that is where we go this morning. This is, after all, what Dr. Winthy would have us do. He taught us in our Old Testament theology class that every morning after you wake up and you've brushed your teeth, go and take hold of the Torah, hold it gently to your heart, and say aloud, "I love the Torah." And it is good for us to look back to the Torah, because not only apostles, but Jesus used the Torah to teach and instruct God's people. Jesus answers the teacher by quoting the Shema. Now, as you recall, the Shema is that Jewish confession that says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then he connects that with its corollary, the love of God, in Deuteronomy 6. This important confession brings the people of God to realize what is important about their faith. Jesus' words here match the Hebrew text very well. And from them we learn four important words: to love the Lord with all your heart, which is the seat of the mind and will in Hebrew thought, with all your soul, which we consider to be the essence of who we are as individuals, with all your mind, that is our reasoning powers, and with all your strength. God is to be loved on the basis of his prior love, and he's to be loved with every fiber of our being. Jesus then masterfully connects the Shema with Leviticus 19:18, which says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Sounds a lot like New Testament. Notice how Jesus preaches gospel from the Torah in an objective and specific way by stressing God's love and our response. His insight here is powerful because here he upholds Leviticus 19 as properly teaching sanctification based on God's prior love. Jesus promotes a love directed towards those we have a difficulty loving, where we in our sinful nature would rather ignore and despise them rather than to love them. And what we realize is that we are only able to love our neighbor through the love of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus' love, we have no love to give. The teacher of the law then at the end commends Jesus on his answer on two points. First, that God is one and that there is only one true God, Yahweh. Secondly, that love is more important than any of the rituals or sacrifices. He agrees with Jesus' teaching that the spirit of the Torah takes precedence over the letter of the Torah. And at this point, we begin to see our new relationship to the law, a relationship that goes through Jesus Christ. Throughout the history of our church, there's been a tendency to uplift the letter of the law and ignore and neglect the spirit of the gospel, or conversely, to promote the love of the gospel while ignoring the law of God. And these tendencies have found their way even into our Lutheran tradition. But when we keep the healthy and proper distinction between law and gospel, as Walther and our professors have rightly taught us, then we are going back to the basics and the essentials of our theology. Now, on the surface, our text this morning may seem to have little gospel in it. That's because it is a common misconception that the Old Testament Torah is doctrinal law, when really it is gospel, gospel in the wide sense. When we look through the eyes of the New Testament and through the words of Jesus, we begin to see the fullness of the Old Testament gospel, a gospel that's always been there. Now we ask, who is this God that people must love with all their soul, body, mind, and strength, and who tells us to love our neighbor? He is the Lord God who is one. He is our God, God pro nobis, for us. He is the God of the gospel. He is the Lord who employed his power on behalf of his people Israel. He is Yahweh, the Lord of history, who poured out his grace in a covenant relationship with his people. And that's the wonderful thing about our God. He didn't just create the world and the universe, kick it into motion, and then now he just sits back in heaven to see what happens. He's involved in our lives and in our world. He is the God who became flesh and dwelt among us. He didn't give us the law just to see how miserably we would fall short of that law. He also came to fulfill that law for us. It is this same God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob that we worship this morning. When Israel confessed the Shema, they confessed a profound and foundational truth. This is the God who called Moses to lead his people out of slavery. Now, how could poor, miserable, helpless Moses move forward in his task? God's unmerited grace was present through his name, which Moses preached and proclaimed to the people of Israel. His name revealed a covenant relationship in which the God of grace took his people out of darkness. This gospel message from the Old Testament is affirmed and given an added meaning in Jesus' words today. Jesus is the one who now fully reveals God's truth and grace. He is the one who reveals the true meaning of God's name, because Jesus, he is Lord. The love of God is demonstrated by his Son, who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Only after receiving God's love in Christ are we able to love God wholeheartedly. The forgiveness of sins through his death on the cross and the promise of our resurrection because he rose from the grave alone are able to stir within us a love for God that shrinks from nothing, not even death. And it is Christ's amazing self-sacrifice that both defines and enables our love for our neighbor. In short, it is on the gospel that is presupposed and contained in the commandments that we are enabled to fulfill those commandments of God. You'll notice that whenever we hear preachers talk about sanctification or good works, our red flags immediately go up, and rightly so, because we don't want to fall into the camp that teaches a synergistic work-righteous salvation. We don't want to make our sanctification our justification. We want to keep a healthy balance between both law and gospel. We may claim justification through grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, but at the same time, we may fail to live out that faith through acts of obedience and love. And you and I know that's clearly wrong. Because what we realize as biblical Christians is that only through faith in Jesus Christ are we able to fulfill God's desire to live a life of love. Only in Jesus do we find God's love, and by his grace are we then enabled to share that love. To the profound question that Jesus was asked today, of all the commandments, which is the greatest? Jesus gave a simple and complete answer: love of God and love of our neighbor. This great commandment is much more than all the burnt offerings or sacrifices ever made. It is much more because Jesus has become the last sacrifice, whose suffering and death and resurrection we see that this God calls us to love him in all ways, has loved us in the perfect way. We rightly confess with St. Paul, who said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen.